Okay, so I wanted to address an issue that I should have addressed yesterday or the day before, but it's easier to do live. And that is, I was live yesterday too, I meant in flesh. That is, the Chabina Rav, Paskin Samar Gemara, interesting halacha. The Gemara says, you give a get to a woman, you can only give one get to one woman, you can't be megarish two women with one get. Remember, it says, because of law, the loy law of l'chavita. Zokta Chabina Rav, and many places can agree with him, that when one says Kaddish for somebody, they can only say Kaddish for one person at a time. They cannot, Chabina Rav Paskins, that just like we say by get, law of loy law of l'chavita, when a person says Kaddish, it has to be miyucha to one nifter. Ramesha has a shayla. This is Chabina Rav's sock. Ramesha has a shayla. I'm not saying everybody agrees. This is Chabina Rav's sock. Ramesha has a shayla, a shamus in a shul, that makes part of his living that people pay him to say Kaddish for people. And sometimes, a lot of people are paying him to say Kaddish for their niftarim, but this is a source of his income. This is part of his income as a shamus in a shul. So Ramesha says he should say one Kaddish per what person. And that Kaddish should be miyuchad for that person. So let's say there's a lot, you know, different amounts of Kaddishim in the shul. If you're a shamus in the shul, there's 3 minyanim, yeah, a lot of Kaddishim there, right? There's, you know, 7, 5 Kaddishim every shachris, whatever it is. What? If he, this is his job, he's a shamus in the shul, right? So if he's there for the month, right? So he can say 15 Kaddishim. And then there's Mincha, and then there's Myrim, and then there might be a Shear, and after the Shear they say a Kaddish. He should say one Kaddish per person. He says, however, when the person who's giving you the money thinks he's paying for multiple Kaddishim, and then you're only saying one Kaddish, it might be a Shailam Tzela. So you have to speak out, I'm accepting the money, I will say at least one Kaddish a day. I can't promise you more. That way, sometimes you might be able to say more for him, and sometimes not. That's where Ramesha paskins in halacha. From there, it's mashma that he agrees to the Chabina Rav, that you shouldn't be saying 5 Kaddishim a day for 10 people. Each Kaddish should be miyuchad for one person. Again, I'm not saying everybody agrees, but that's the Chabina Rav's pesach, and Ramesha seems to agree, again, he was Adam Gadol that lived in the... He was nifter 1963, 1964. He was a rav in Yerushalayim. He was a rav in the city of Chabin before the war. Afterwards, he moved to Yerushalayim. He was for the Gedalia Yerushalayim, if not the Gadlin Yerushalayim in his time. So, yes, he did. Even though, you know, Chabin a rav line. Because Einish kept 2 svarim out on Pesach. He used to lock up all his svarim. Maybe there's chametz. He kept out the Chabin a rav's tshuva sefer and a Kabbalah Sefer. So they told the Chabina Rav that the Chazanish is machshav of you. He keeps your Sefer out of a Pesach. He said, yeah, but he doesn't look at it all year. If he looked at it all year, he wouldn't keep it out of Pesach. That's the thing, yes.
So the Chabina Rav says, you're a German.
Right, so he talks about that, Ramesha. And he says, therefore, the Shamus and the Shul has to maneuver around that he should be able to. He said that. Today, the way things are, not German, right? So it's not so hard to say one Kaddish because it can be 5 Kaddishim, right? And 10 people can say the Kaddish in the shul. But in the Yekis, they're Machmed, only one person says the Kaddish. So there, Ramesha says, this Shamus, this is a source of his income. So, you know, and again, I still remember as a kid, there used to be a shamus in one of the shuls in Baltimore, that people paid, he said Kaddish for different people. He said every Kaddish, right? But that was because it was a source of income. So Ramesh is saying he should promise the family one Kaddish. He should tell them, I can tell you one Kaddish, I can't promise you more. One Kaddish a day, he said. That's what he should tell the person. And he proves that that works. Why? He says, because since the minig used to be only one Kaddish was said by person, and you have more than one available in the shul, you're not saying, the guy's not going to be saying all the Kaddishim. Terence is, saying one Kaddish is enough. If it wouldn't be enough, how could they tell the person that you can't say Kaddish? he has to say Kaddish. So Teretz is, between all the Gedeshim and the Shul, every Avil gets at least one. So therefore you see from there that one does the trick. That's what he says. Of course, more is better, but one does the trick. He says, well, unfortunately, he says, the only problem is that people who don't give the money think that they're getting seven Kedeshim. So he says, Al Tochus Gzela, you should let them know, I promise you one Kaddish, not anymore. I'm just pointing out what it says. I'm not saying, by the way, I want to make it clear. It's not like I did an exhaustive research on this. I saw that Shabina Rav brings a rye from this Gemara, law of Eloi, law of Achavata, so I just mentioned it here. Okay, so then he, in a Hanabi, he would have to say, again, I didn't see, I said I did not do exhaustive research, but that's, Shabina Rav says from law of Eloi, law of Achavata, that that's what has to happen. It's fine. I have no problem with that. Yes.
So in a continuing effort.
No, it has nothing to do with it. What I get to this week is not. It's next week. Yes.
So in a continuing effort, trying to get. So, what are the people who justify having like 14 people?
Yes. I'm not getting involved with that. That's, we're leaving that alone. Yes, thank you. Emet Hashem, next week, Thursday or Friday, Emet Hashem, we should be starting Masechtas Kedushin. So anybody who has to get a hold of a Kedushin Gemara, I hope to start, again, I can't promise, it depends on the Olam and how it goes. Some things flow faster than others. You know, some Gemaras I think we won't move and we move, and some Gemaras I think it'll go so easy and then all of a sudden we get bogged down. And again, I Chassidus Shalom don't mean anything bad, I just don't know. So, but I, the way I see it, we should be able to get to starting Masechtas Kedushin either Thursday or Friday.
Remember, did you start the recording?
We start what?
Did you start the recording?
Yes, you did.
I think I did, yeah. Okay. Zakti Gemara. We are on Pechesim and Aleph, and we're up to the two dots. We're going to start again from the two dots, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth line from the top, 88A1. Chasmu Eidim Bereish Hadaf. It says if the Eidim sign at the top, it's not a good chesima, or if they sign on the side. That's what the Mishnah said, because that's what we're going to be concentrating on. Or if they sign on the side, it's not a good signature. And again, what?
The Goyim, the margin?
Yeah, that's what it said. Ben Atzad. Zuck the Gemara Eini. But Rav Chosim Ben Atzad. Rav used to sign as an aide on the side, on the margin. So we see that a signature on the side is good enough. And for the Gemara, Chosim B'Shigagri Klapik Sav. I don't know how to translate this exactly in good words, but I'll try my best. There's two ways you write. You can write with the top of your lettering facing the get when you're on the side, or you can write at the bottom of your lettering facing the tzav on the side. How you sign your name. So if your name is Yitzchak, you can put the tzadi, top of the tzadi towards the tzav, or you can put the top of the tzadi away from the tzav. So when the top of the lettering is towards the writing, that means you sign on that thing. When the top of the lettering is away from the writing, then we don't view it like you signed on that document. That's what the Gemara wants to answer. No questions. So I finished this piece of Gemara. Frech to Gemara, if that's true, it said there that if you have two gittin that start from the middle of the page, and one works in the middle outwards to the top, and one works in the middle outwards to the bottom, and the Adam sign in the middle, it's not kosher. Now, if the Adam sign in the middle, they're probably facing their lettering head is facing one of those gittin the proper way. And if you're telling me if the top of the lettering is facing the get, that's a good signature, so one of the gittin should be kosher. Because we just said that if the top of the lettering faces the get, that's a signature on the get. So why isn't that kosher? So if Hikim Raishim Zeb, Sad Raishim Shazeb, Eidim Be'emtza, Shneim Sulam, V'lechzi Haimin Ayo Klapik Sav, V'lizgashi, and for the Gemara, Hasim the Rami Leki Ibra. There it's talking about this, the Adam sign perpendicular to the two gittin. Neither get has the Adam's top of their signature, their thing. Ibra is like a bolt, I think it is. Whatever it is, it's perpendicular to the gittin. So no get has signatures the right way. Yes, Baruch Meitzer, what is your question?
What he means, does it mean that he wrote the direction of the text is, and the first part, when he says...
No, it means the top of the lettering is facing the get. It's on the side.
But he's using the same text direction?
He's using the, in the side, it's perpendicular. On the side, it's perpendicular. On the bottom, it's not perpendicular, we thought.
So on the bottom is under, not on the side, but in this...
Again, Rav signed on the side.
With the margin, and he signed sideways.
Exactly.
With the head of the
left. Exactly. So we had a question. If the heads are good enough, so when you have two gittin going in two different directions, and the Adam sign in between, and we think they're signing the same way, same direction as the get, so one of the gittin should be kosher.
Which one should be kosher?
The one that the top of the lettering is facing.
The top of the lettering is facing. So would they sign this way in the
middle? That's the Gemara's answer.
That way it's not facing either?
Exactly. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Mishigangu Shukhasim Meklab Iksav Aget. The high vade aget zechosim, he signed on this get. Masnissim Shiragla Chasim Meklab Iksav Aget. The ikalameh, the legs of the chasim are towards the get. Ikalameh Meshem Lamayla Moisa Chasim Moisa Kosu Shtar. Now Rashi is explaining his reason of why it makes a difference. He says, because if you sign the other way, maybe there was something written on the side that had been cut off, and therefore you were signing on the other thing. We don't know what happened beforehand. So Rashi leaves himself open. What if you see that it was never cut? If the only reason signing with your legs towards the get is because it might have signed on something else, so what if you have the thickness of the parchment there that shows it was never cut? That would be a clear, according to Rashi, that even facing away the, you know, the bottom towards the top should be good. Again, this is Rashi's chat. We'll move on. We now think they signed across the width in the same direction as the gittin were written. The answer is the Ramalik Ibra, Haidim Mutalim Beishnei Agitin to Briach, like a bolt. Rashi Shita Shechasima Mechabrin Hagitin to Briach Hadelas. The signatures attach the Gitin like a bolt attaches two things. Shinim Shechas Ba'avir HaPesach, right? The bolt goes across the airspace of the door and it attaches the door to the frame. So the same thing here, Kachim Nim Shechim Bein Avir Shnei Hagitin, it is between the airspace of the two gittin. Frech the Gemara. This teretz runs into a problem. The Mishnah said the case when you have two gittin written, one on top of the other, right? The Eidim be'emtza, and the Eidim are in the middle. Now we're saying the Eidim in the middle means sideways. That's what we just said it meant in the case before. The Eidim in the middle meant sideways. So the next case would continue in the same vein, that the Eidim are signing like perpendicular. So why does the Mishnah say Sheidim Nikrim B'Soifer Kusher? So Mishnah, if they're signing the same direction, so you have get one and get two, and the Eidim in the middle, so the Eidim are going on get one. But if you're going sideways, they're not going on any get. So why is one Kusher? Zuckerberg, you know what? You're right. Eidim have to be signed under the get, not on the side of the get. It doesn't make a difference which way the letters are facing. It's a puzzle anyway. So what did Rav do? El Rav Bediski Avachasim. Rav used to sign his saying on the side when they used to have a summons, a subpoena, when they called people to testify. So Rav wrote a letter, saying, Bezin needs you to come and testify. Rav signed on the side. You don't need an official signature with Hilchus Chasima. It's not Adam. It's Rav's Bezin subpoenaing somebody. So therefore, he signed on the side. That's all. It didn't have to be a kosher get or a kosher kedushin or a kosher anything. So therefore, that's what Rav did. And may, well, you can't bring a riot from there to anything to do with get. Rashi.
Yeah.
The signatures would have to be under the get. Not on the side, not on top, and written in the same way as the get is written.
Or he wrote his name.
What?
He still wrote his
It's fish. The Mishnah said he wrote a fish, but not a, I mean, Gemara said he wrote a fish.
He brought up this whole thing about he signed the side. Well,
we know he did. The Gemara said Rav used to sign on the side. That's the Gemara's final answer. The Gemara thought that he did it by getting as well. And the Gemara said he never did it by getting. You're right. Had the Gemara said this at the beginning, there wouldn't have been seven lines in Gemara, and you would have lacked the knowledge that the seven lines in Gemara teach you. I have no idea. I wasn't there. He didn't consult with me. He didn't tell me. I can make things up. I don't like to make things up. Rashi. Ella Rav ki chasim natzad loy begitten veloy bestaris. Ella bediski. What is diski? She bezaman anrashim l'din. When he called people to din. Lufana. Vatsayfer kaisim l'migeris hasmanav. And the kaisayfer wrote a letter of invitation. Bishmai in his name. Sometimes he signs on the side. And it makes no difference. The message was, Rav needs you to come to bed. And that's all. Dr. Harris. I was gone for 2 days. I meant Dr. Gemara Weiter. Now, just to refresh our memories from last week, we had a machloikus whether Ksav Sefer Ve'ed Kasher, because last Mishnah said that the Sefer wrote and the Eid signed, it's considered it's Pasul Chatchila. And here it says it's Kasher. So if you remember, Shmuel answered, this is talking about a Sefer Muvik. He knows exactly what he's doing, and that's why we trust his writing as a signature. And that was talking about a Sefer Sha'ina Muvik, and therefore there it says Chatchila, it's Pasul. That's how Shmuel learned. Rav learned that Mishnah was Ksav Yadai. It was the guy's own handwriting. Ksav Sefer is not good ever. Our Mishnah says Ksav Yodei Kasher. Dr. Gemara, Reb Yirmiya Ksav Sefer Shenino. Rav learns this Mishnah, like Reb Yirmiya, I'm refreshing the memory, that it's the signature of the Sefer. Now, the signature of the Sefer runs into a problem, because we have a fear that maybe the husband didn't want the Sefer to be an aid, but the Shliach who went to get the Sefer was embarrassed to tell the cipher, I just want you to write to get. So he told the cipher to sign to get. But that only works if you hold Eimer Imru as Kusher, that you can appoint the Shliach to appoint Adam. But if you learn that they can't sign unless they hear directly from a husband, then if the cipher signed, he would have never signed unless the husband told them. So there's no fear. So therefore, if you learn Chsam Cipher for Aid is Kusher, Rav Chizda Mani Rav Yaisi. That can only work like Rabbi Yossi, who says, Eimer Imru is Pasul. We had the sugya back either in the 6th parak or in the 7th parak, right? We had that sugya that said that Rabbi Yossi holds Eimer Imru is Pasul. So if you learn Eimer Imru is Kusher, then Ksav Sefer Ve'ed is a Shiloh. So therefore you learn it means Ksav Sefer. But if you learn that Eimer Imru is Pasul, so then it can mean Ksav Sefer. Rashi? Some cipher made a chininu b'mishnah seinu the kasher, the havelu beis edim bashmina masnisin the loy chashina lemei rabal loytziva shiachdim a cipher. We're not afraid that the cipher signed without a direct command. And amr lishnayim imru the cipher plainly v'yichdim leplainly plainly v'yachsaimu. He appointed two people to make shluchim. The chashul lahanach shluchim the kisufa the safra, and they were afraid that the cipher would be embarrassed. V'achsamu l'ha, they made him. They asked him to sign. L'ha'ol v'achsamu, period. L'ha'ol l'chashinam. K'do k'mina b'perek Mishal Chazay. Like we said, in Perek Mishal Chazay, ha'mani Reb Yaisi, ha'mani mili l'mim sin l'shliach. Zag digim arvait. Ahu ahi k'subas chasanim. There was a k'suba. Regular k'suba is called k'subas chasanim. The Asil Kabadir of O, the Yadele Latufsa Ulchasimis Yad the Chatzada. They recognized the writing of the cipher, and there was only one aid. They recognized only one signature. There were two signatures, but they didn't validate the second signature. And somebody is claiming that that ksuba is a forgery, namely the husband. He never wrote a ksuba for that amount, and he claims it's a forgery. Now, the woman has to validate that ksuba in order to collect the money. That's right, she got divorced. So now, she has to validate it. She can only validate one signature. And she also finds validation that people recognize the handwriting of a cipher. Is that a second signature? It would be good. So, sabar v'akshure. So, Rebbe Vol wanted to make it kosher. He has ksav cipher v'aid. He validated the writing of the cipher, which is also an aid, and an aid. We don't rely on the writing of the cipher. There is the signature of the cipher. Here there's no signature of a cipher, so you can't validate a ksuba that way. Rashi? They recognized the form of the star. They didn't recognize the second signature. So to validate it, you would need people to recognize the second signature, and they couldn't find anybody.
Why does she have to make the proof?
Every star, we
after the divorce,
right.
He owes her the money.
Correct. So she pulls out, 1 second. The ksuba says that he promised her $1 million.
Oh, you mean, it's, Yosef, I mean, the 200, there's no Shiloh.
Exactly.
Oh, that's the case.
I said, there's a lot of money there. And he's claiming it's somebody forged it. I never promised that amount.
But the 200, she didn't have to do
it. 100%.
No, 100,
200. Yeah. Right. Zakti Gemara, right, it's Kasim Chanichasai, the Chanichasa Kasher. Now, we learned Chanichasai v'Chanichasa is the way people identify themselves. Now, let's step back. I'm going to explain it. What?
Nickname.
I said family name. That's how I translated it in the Mishnah.
No, I mean, Baruch said something else, said about work, you know, workmen's names.
Again.
Did you say that? Baruch.
You mean their job?
Again, I translated it as family name. Because I just explained the family name there and family name today is different. Today, family name is forever. So the guy's name is Goldstein. He's been Goldstein for the last 300 years. And the Mer Hashem will be Goldstein for the next 600 years. And Mashiach comes, Samcheinu Kimaisa Nisanu, be a long Kimaisa Mashiach. I don't know. Please don't get me into Kabbalah. I don't know. Am I getting there? Samcheinu Kimaisa Nisanu. So whatever it is, it'll be Goldstein. So Goldstein is a very valid name of identification. However, in those days, some people were meyaches themselves to the Rosh HaMishpacha generations back. And some people were not. So some people would write Avraham Ben Yaakov, and some people would write Avraham Ibn Ezra. Because many generations ago, there was the Ezra, the family name, so they became Ibn means the son of Ibn Ezra. So the question is, how far do we let people go back to the head of the family? Today, that's not a question. Because we're not going back to a head of a family. We're going back to a family name that came about because the guy who made Jews pick up family names. So every family picked up a name, and even though it changes sometimes, but basically it is a family name that's a means of identification. In those days, most people signed Avraham Ben Yaakov Aid. This guy decided to say Avraham Ibn Ezra. Beautiful. How far back do we rely on that Ibn Ezra? That's going to be the Gemara Shalom. Dr. Gemara. Up to 10 generations, we'll identify the guy by Ibn Ezra. But after 10 generations, we don't go back. People don't go back. Again, it's not the derech to go back that far, and therefore it's not a means of identification anymore. Shimon Elazarimer, Gimel Gairus Kusher, Mikan Ve'eluch Puzzle. 3 generations. That's all. Again, it's not our family names. Our family names is not because of a head of a family. Right, a guy's named Miller. Why is he named Miller? Because somebody in the family used to grind wheat, was called a Miller, and therefore the name became Miller. It has nothing to do with the head of a family. It's just a family name. It's different than this Gemara that they named themselves for head of a family. They felt Choshev Ibn Ezra. I'm right.
Well, also, children generally went into the business of their father, so
never. Could be, 100%. My father told me he met a lady, and her last name was Mitaz. He asked her, where'd you get the name? She said her husband comes from the Taz.
Oh, wow.
And they wanted them to remember that when they moved to America, that they're Enoch of the Taz. and that they never should forget their heritage. So the family name became Mitas. Because if not, they'll come to America and they'll forget that the Taz ever existed. And maybe they did forget that the Taz ever existed, or at least the last name reminded them that Mitas. Again, I'm just...
Surnames are relatively recent. I mean...
Right, I said that. It's only a few years.
Well, you said 300 years. It's actually... In Germany, it was 1819. To the east, it was later than that.
Yeah? I thought it was earlier than that.
The earliest that I've seen is in the medieval banks. You would have a family name of successive banks.
Yeah. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, had your diaries. It's a nickname. It's not considered a change of name. Like which town is it going? Three generations. Come on, Krimshim and Milwazer. He's passing like that Tana that says we only rely on it for three generations. Amar Avuna Mikra. Where in the passing do we see the three generations is like where it stops? It's a hint. The pasuk is not talking about Gittin. It's not identity. It's just saying a hint that we go three generations. And the pasuk says three generations. Children and grandchildren. Rashi, Mikra. Is there Rashi, Mikra? No. Banim, Haidu, Darbez. Ubanim, Beibran, Haidin, and Gibu. Mikanvei, Lakar, Lev, and Ashantam. Afterwards, it's aged. But Ashantam means aged. How does he translate arts? What? What did he say?
Yeah.
Age? Okay, thank you.
Age. I'm sorry. The first three generations can write down this family name.
Correct. Not family name.
Not family name. The
yeah, right, exactly.
And then afterwards, they have to start, the fourth generation will have to write Avraham Ben Yitzchok.
Or that, or they find a new family head.
And so they can't reuse the old one?
No, because it's past three generations.
So they can start a new one.
Again, I assume if there's a head, if there's something to miyachas themselves to.
But what does that mean? They don't remember it, or we don't determine? What do you mean aged? What does that mean, aged?
It's not a means of identification. Shantam is not talking about names again. It's a hint.
Same thing with what Rebbe said before, that it says Rav Chavirta. What check does that do with Kaddish?
Because the Shmita Rav says it does.
That's
why it has a shaykhus to Kaddish. I wouldn't have made the shaykhus. He does. Nothing. Again.
So today's family's name, we can't sign a get using the family.
We don't. But logically speaking, Chayra would be good. We don't. We don't even sign Suvas with family name. Yesterday I spoke out something. I hope the Olam chapped it. Why in other stars you write in the and in Gittin we don't write in the I never knew this. It was like a Kiddush to me. You only write in the when it's written as if the Adam are writing it. We have seen this happen. Nu'um. Here it's the husband writing it. And therefore they can't write Nu'um. They didn't say this. They're just testifying to it.
What is it again? What does it say? It
doesn't say Nu'um.
What does it say?
Avraham ben Yaakov
Eid.
What?
It says Nu'um.
Yes.
No, it says Svi Mordechai ben Aaron.
But don't think about it. About it. Now we have a piece of Agana to Gemara. Like of the Eretz Yisrael was not destroyed until seven dynasties served Avodah Zarah. Seven different dynasties of kings. Now the truth is, we're talking about Malchus Yisrael. Remember, Eretz Yisrael split into two between Malchus Yehuda and the Ten Shvatim. So we're going to talk about the seven dynasties that ruled over Yisrael from the time they split till the time of Golus. And they all served the Avodah Zarah. And therefore, that caused the destruction of Eretz Yisrael. Now, it's referring to the Aseres HaShvatim. At the same time, they were serving in Eretz Yisrael and Yehuda also Avodah Zarah. Not all the time, but at certain times. It wasn't consistent. But we don't mention Yehuda because since we're mentioning the seven dynasties that basically covered most of the historical period. So we're saying that's what caused the Churban of Eretz Yisrael. At least the Aseres HaShvatim part. Yerubim ben Nevat means, it doesn't mean every king. It means the Yerubim family. Yerubim family lasted, I think, two or three generations before they were wiped out. Basha ben Achia, his family. Achav ben Omri. Now, Omri was the first king of that dynasty, but since Achav was a bigger Russia, we identify the dynasty by him. Rashi says that, not me. Yehu ben Nimshi, who was a tragedy, because he came to wipe out Avodah Zarah. That's what he wanted to do. But he didn't. He got rid of all of Avodah Zarah except the two Agolim of Yerubim. And he served those two. So he ended up wiping out Achav because Achav was an Avodah Zarah and ended up being Nichshol. So he got wiped out also. He was Yahu ben Amshi. Pekach ben Ramayo, Menachem ben Gedi. Menachem was before Pekach. The Mashal says the Girsa should be the opposite. Vaisheya ben Ela, he was the last one. Shenamra Umlala, the unfortunate one. How does he translate Umlala? The unfortunate one?
Those who bore seven
is
desolate.
The desolate one? Yeled Shashiva, that gave birth to the seven. Nafcha Navsha, her nefesh is miserable. Bo Shimsha, her son has set, by Jaiman when it was still day. Busha v'chafara became totally embarrassed, in another word for embarrassment.
Shame.
Amar Rabami, Mikra, Kisar Lidbanim, Ubne Banim. And Tysus speaks out. Gilyan and Tysus. Silent is one, Banim is another two, Ubne is another two, and Banim is another two. That's seven generations. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Zayim Batidinim. Zayim Mishmacha Shemalochim, Mimalchi Yisrael. The Hanach the Mochi Yehuda, Lechashiv, is not counted. Shayim Yemeim Shalelu, because they were in the same time. Babaki Bez and Echad. It's considered like one dynasty. Hamelach, Ubenai, Uben Benai, Vechom Malachim Shekamu Mizari Achrav, Karuchad. We're not referring to individual kings. We're referring to dynasties. Bezen Sholim, Bezen, period. Karuchad Bezen. Now, there are two that are not mentioned. A king named Shalom ben Yavish, and there's another king named Zechariah. Like a chashev, for the Shlemochu Shalom Shlema. They never were king for a year. They, since their kingdom didn't last a year, we can't call them a dynasty. Bechein Zimri. Zimri also was a king for a week. He lasted a week, and then he got killed out. So, then we don't mention those three, but we mention the seven that lasted for a while. The Abu Amri, Achav Shal Achav, Hashem Bezdina Shal Achav Nikra. He's part of the Achav dynasty. Since Achav was the bigger Russia, Nikra Hakil Kul Hashemai. But May Hashaya Be'eli Benela Golu Asaras Hashvatim. Rashi is bothered, but that wasn't the Korban. The Korban happened later by Yehuda, so it's not a complete Korban. So Rashi answers that question. He's Shait to Karlo Korban. Once the Asaras Hashvatim went to Golus, the Korban has begun. Now, granted, the Beit HaMikdash is still standing, and Yehuda and Yamin are still there, but the Chorban has started. After seven generations of dynasties of kings, the Chorban started. The start of the Chorban is the Aseres HaShvatim going into Galus. The Hainu Umlala Yeledes HaShiva, I've got what he called Umlala,
Desolate.
They gave her Sheol the Sheva Mishmachas Lavei Dezara. Zog the Gemara Vayter. Amalei Rav Kahana L'Rav Asi. K'siv Bei B'Hesheya Ben Ela. Says by Hesheya Ben Ela. V'yat Sarah B'Enei Hashem. He did bad in the eyes of Hashem. Rak Loi K'malcha Yisrael. He wasn't as bad as the other kings. U'ksiv Olav Olav Shalman Esser. And he's the one that was taken into Galus. He was an improvement over the other ones. So if he's an improvement, why is he the one that goes into Galus? Adarabba, he's an improvement. It should be a stay of the Galus. He's better. Zakta Gemara Amalu, I'll tell you what. Oysen Pardisois, those guards, Shehoshiv Yerubim al Adrachim, that Yerubim put on the roads, Shkadesh L'Yavlu Yisrael L'Regel. When Yerubim became king, he was very concerned about one thing. He was afraid that when comes Aliyah L'Regel, all the Yidden are going to go behind L'Regel. And he will also. And he's going to get to Yerushalayim. And they're going to see that the Malchus Beis David can sit in the Azara. And he can't sit in the Azara. Because Ein Yeshiva Bazara, El Malchus Beis David Bovar.
that they had a Masaira, that nobody's allowed to sit in the Azara except Malchus Beis David. So here they was, your Chavim will sit, and your Rabbim will have to stand. And the people of the Aseret HaShoftim will say, that's a real king, and that's not a real king, and they'll rebel against him. In order to prevent that, he instilled guards that don't let Yisrael be Eila Rego. They should never see the king sitting there. And he substituted Tuagolim, that people should go there for Aliyah Lerego, and he made different Yemim Taivim also, and therefore he'll save himself from being there and watching the people watching him being embarrassed by the fact that he can't sit in the Azara. That's what caused the whole downturn of the Aseret HaShoftim.
What did he do to counter it?
He made Tuagolim.
What does that mean?
Two Avodah Zarahs. Egel Azov, me two of them.
Yeah. So, but your forced to do it?
They went along. They did it. Again, I'm not learning Jewish. I'm not learning Navi now. It's a good question.
That's a good question. Just, I don't understand.
Okay, but this is what happened. So he put guards on the roads. Hoshea ben Ela removed them. That was his good deed. He said, anybody, we give freedom. Anybody wants to go to Yerushalayim, Gesunta Hate. You want to go to that Golem, you still have that choice. That's what Hashem ben Ela did. Problem is, nobody went. Ava became the only Yisrael Lerego. They didn't go. So it became a terrible tyrant on Klal Yisrael. Here he did a good deed, Hashem ben Ela, but he exposed Klal Yisrael because the tariff that we can't go was removed. Now some people did go. There's some people that went even while Yerubim was king, even when the guards were there, they came up with ideas of how to sneak through. But some people, the Hamaynam, didn't go after Hashem ben Ela. And the Mela, it exposed the time of Avodah Zarah worse. And that's why the Golus came. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Oisim Shanu Shla'ol Yisrael Lerego, Yelchu Bashvi. It's a big shiloh what this Gemara means. These years, the Klai Yisrael didn't go Lerego, they're going to captivity. Now, the problem is the captivity lasted a lot longer than the years they were in Lerego. That's Aseret HaShoftim is still there. So the Gemara says they came back. According to one Mandiyama, they came back in the days of Yirmiyah. At least some of them came back. So it seems that Hashem punished them for a number of years till some of them came back. That's how the Mepharshim seemed to answer. And Yaakov seems to answer that Kasha. One of the Kashas they ask here, the Gemara says one of the reasons we celebrate Chamish Asar Ba'av as a Yom Tov is because Hashem ben Ela removed the guards. It makes it sound like that's a reason for celebration. And here the Gemara takes that very act and says it sealed the deal. It sealed the doom, I should say. Right? So the answer is, for those who went and had to sneak, this is what the Mepharshim answered. For those who spent their life sneaking in and out, Hashem and Ela removing the guards was an unbelievable chesed. And for them, it was a Yom Tov. However, it became a Yom Tov because, look, people can now come freely. Unfortunately, the ones that took advantage of it were the ones that were doing it anyway. The Hamaynam didn't take advantage of it. So it was a reason for a Yom Tov because it was a cause of celebration for those who were Meitzer Nefesh to come every time. Unfortunately, it also sealed the deal because it was a time on Klal Yisrael. Yes, Doctor?
Number one, just on the side, seal the doom is very good.
In Sanhedrin, and that was Yerubim's chassar. He had a gaiva, right, 100%.
And so he's willing to be set up above Azura, but he's not willing to sit there while he's not willing to.
Yes, that's what gaiva can do to a person. Yes, gaiva has that power.
Fair removed the guards.
Yes,
he was the one who also removed the agolim.
No, he didn't remove that golem. Nobody removed that golem.
You mean the voters were still there?
Yes. He gave choice. Freedom of choice.
Did he believe in Avodah Zarah?
He himself served Avodah Zarah. But he wasn't imposing it anymore. Ashi, Parnassah, Shemrim. Aitim Shana Shalalu, Chayav Shayim Baichim Biyadam, Bein Oyalu. They could have gone, and they didn't go for a number of years while Hosea was still king. So Yelchu Yiglu B'Yelchu B'Shvi. They should go into captivity.
So they brought the Avodah Zarah to also to deter the people from going Aliyah, or it's only the guys.
Again, let's put it in perspective. He stopped them from being Aliyah L'Rego. That was his first move. This is not a Shea B'Nail, this is Yerubim.
Yerubim stopped them by putting guards and Avodah Zarah?
The Avodah Zarah was the way he offered them a solution to the fact that they have to go serve somewhere. Let me step back. I don't want to spend the whole day on this, but let me do this fast. There was a thing called the Eitar of Avodah Zarah that we don't have. They have to serve something. You have to provide people something to serve. If not, they go crazy. They needed it. So therefore, Yerubim didn't want them to go to Yerushalayim. So he provided them something else to serve.
Elsewhere.
The two Agolim.
And they were in Yerushalayim?
No, in two cities. In that Sarah Sashvatim.
Yeah, but Yerubim was afraid to go.
Maybe we should have a Nachshon.
Yerubim was afraid to go to Eretz Yisrael because he wouldn't be allowed to. Who would stop him from going in?
Sitting down.
Who would stop him?
The people in charge of that Zara. You can't be Machal that Zara. You are. Again.
So he's really a great guy, and now he's afraid to go into the Zara?
Again. Never knocks here. Yerubim ben Avot at one time was a big tzaddik. The Rabbeinu Shalom sent a Navi to tell him that he should break off and make the Malchus Aseres Hashratim. It was done up in Navi. Achia Shalaini came to Yerubim ben Avot and said, the Rabbeinu Shalom wants you to be king. He wasn't a Russia at that point. Not. There's a whole story in his history. I'm not here to... The little knock that I know, I'm not here to teach. Right? So, he was a tzaddik. He was appointed king. Ran into a problem once he became king. That his kingdom, he felt, would not be preserved. Because they would go to Yerushalayim. He was a frum guy. He was a frum person. They would go to Yerushalayim. And he would have to stand. And people would say he's not a real king. And it would undermine his kingdom. Therefore, he decided to stop Aliyah L'Rego. But you can't just do that. Because people are going to want to go. So you have to offer it. He persuaded them to serve Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is a whole way of how he persuaded people to serve Avodah Zarah. It took him a while. But he worked at it. That's why he's a Chayte Umachti. He's called a Chayte Umachti, Kirav Ben Avot. He sinned and made others sin. And the Rabbeinu Shlom came to him, I don't know how, and said to him, if you do tshuva, you, me, and David HaMelech will walk in Gan Eden together. Okay? Not a bad offer. And he said to the Rabbeinu Shlom, me Barash. Who's going to go first, me or David? And Hashem said, David. He said, I don't want to do tshuva. Don't ask me to explain that, Gemara. I can tell you what guy can do to a person. I know all the Bali Musar words. But the bottom line is, he refused to do tshuva. So this is Yerubim ben Avot, not the gay here. The bottom line is he put Avodah Zarah into Eretz Yisrael. That's the bottom line. And Asher ben Ela did not remove Avodah Zarah. But he was a free choice man. He didn't feel like he has right to impose. So he said, Rabbi Sai, whoever wants to go, and nobody went, except those who were going before. So it was a big time on them, and that's why the Golos came.
And David did not
want
to go with Yerubim either?
David was dead already.
But when Hashem asked him, I remember some story that.
Okay, it's really nothing to do with this. Come on. Don't think about it. Rabbi Chizda, Rabbi Kamal, Rabbi Chizda, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Darish Mareim, Rabbi Dechsev. Vayishkel Hashem El Rab. Hashem hurried the bed. Vayavir Aleinu, and he brought it on us. Ki Tzadik Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is the Tzadik. Mishum the Tzadik Hashem Elokeinu, Vayishkel Hashem El Rab. The Pasuk says Hashem hurried to bed because he's righteous. It's righteous to hurry to bed? Vayavialeinu? Ella, Stokos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisroel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the Golos in a very stokotic way, in a charitable way. Shehigla Golos, Yitzkiyo, Vadayin Golos, Yechon Yekayamas.
He sent Yechonyan to Galus 11 years before Churban Beis HaMikdash. But he made sure that Yechonyan's Galus was still around in Bavel. Because when they came to Bavel, they established yeshivas. They built the shul. Haigon says, they took the stones, the offer from the Beis HaMikdash, they took some stones and offer, they brought it to Bavel, and they built a shul in Bavel, in Nardar. No, this is the Yechonya, the first of Yehuda's Galus. And they were still around. So when Galus at Kiel shows up 11 years later, there's a thriving community, a thriving Jewish community. There's yeshivas, there's batei midrashim, because the Galus of Yechonya was the cream of the crop. The main Talmid HaChachamim were taken to Galus 11 years before Churban Beis HaMikdash. What happened was, Nebuchadnezzar came to Eretz Yisrael, and he conquered Eretz Yisrael, and he killed Yoyakim. And after he killed Yoyakim, he appointed Yoyakim's son as king, named Yechonya, or Yoyakim. And then his advisors told him, you don't appoint the son of your rebel again as your king. So he said, you're right. He came back. He took Yoyakim into Galus, and he took with Yoyakim HaCheresh VaHamisker. The Chziv Bebe Galus Yoyakhanya. HaChanya and Yoyakim is the same person. HaCheresh VaHamisker. HaMasker. What does that mean? Elof. Cheresh Shemeshosh Shepayishchun Nasa HaKoch HaRashim. When they started, everybody became death-like. They couldn't. They were so big Talmid HaChachamim that when they spoke, everybody kept quiet. When they stopped talking, there was nothing else to say. They were the biggest Talmid HaChachamim. The Kama, how many of them were? Elof. So he took them into Galus. That was a charity of the Rabbeinu Shleilam. So when the rest of Klal Yisrael comes into Galus, there was already a thriving Torah community in Bavel. And that's because Hashem sent the first group in 11 years earlier. Rashi. That was the destruction of Yerushalayim. Shagalu kula. Galus Yechonya. Hu Yoyakim. God met the Galus at Kiyo Achas Eshrei Shana. 11 years. Zu Tzedaka. Shemir v'hechru beisai. He hurried and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Kedei l'haglis darich at Kiyo l'bovo. V'oid shechach me Galus Yechonya kayomen. It was worthwhile to destroy the Beis HaMikdash a little bit earlier, so the people could come to Galus and still find Yechonya. Shilamdu Torah le'il l'agaylim achareyim, to teach Torah to those who come to Galus. V'shoroyim chach me'hatayra. By the way, Mordechai also went to Galus there, right? Hashem haglim Yechonya, right? The pasuk says, Galim Yechonya, Tzibba acharesh v'amaskar elof. Kibin shesaygim halacha, sheim skurim ba, sheinim yoydim l'hashu l'shaleim. When they had to close, they didn't have what to say. Nobody else had anything to say.
What was
so
when did they take the
offer
from the Beis HaMikdash?
It seems they took, I don't know if from the Beis HaMikdash or from the Harabayas, and the Rav Haigon says it was Yechonya's people that took it along.
The 11 years earlier?
Yeah.
So was it, wasn't destroyed yet?
I said maybe from Harabayas. I don't know exactly.
Was that allowed?
Whatever they did, they were allowed. They were the biggest Talmid Chacham.
Why not?
Yeah, whatever. I know I can't take over from Harabayas, son. So I'm thinking about it. Ula Amar, Shehigdim Shteshanam Lunashantam. Neshantam is the Gematria 852. The Pasuk says, Kisarlet Banim of Nebanim and Neshantam Varetz, and you'll serve Avay Nazara, Haydozi Bechem Hayoim Ki Avay Tavedu Maher. I will destroy you. That means, had it been in Eretz Yisrael for 852 years, which is the Gematria of Neshantam, Klal Yisrael would have been destroyed, Rachmana Litzlan. So Hashem did Klal Yisrael a favor. Took him into Galus at 850 years. They came to Eretz Yisrael. The Beit HaMikdash was built 440 years later. The Beit HaMikdash stood 410 years. That made 850. So Hashem took him to Galus 2 years earlier. So it shouldn't be, I'll destroy you. And that's why they didn't get destroyed. It was a favor of Hashem who didn't wait for Neshantam. He took him to Galus 2 years before the Neshantam.
Oh, you said 11.
That was Yechonya's Galus. This is the second shot. Ula says, what's the tzedakah of Galus?
that Hashem didn't wait 8:52 to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He did it at 8:50, so it shouldn't be that they should be destroyed. The Leket Yosher, the Rebbe of the Trumas Hadeshen, brings a raya from here that a gematria that's one off is considered a good gematria. Because why did Hashem take him at 8:50, not at 8:51? If he didn't want him to be 8:52, so he wanted it earlier, he could have taken 8:51. Dr. Leket Yosher, you see here that a gematria that's one off is still a gematria, and therefore he had to take him 2 years earlier. That Rizal says that the raya to that is, the pasuk says, Ephraim v'Menashe, Keruvim v'Shimon Yuli. If you take the gematria of Ephraim and Menashe and the gematria of Reuven v'Shimon, it's one off. And the pasuk says Ephraim and Menashe, Keruvim v'Shimon Yuli. Dr. Rizal is a raya that one off is a good gematria. Dr. Rashi, Ula Amar Hainu Tzedakah. This is the Tzedakah. Shemir Lahavi Arad L'Soyim Chesmei Tzachamishim. They brought the band at 850. The Hainu Beis Shonim Kaidim V'Nishantem. Zugbi Gematria Tov Meis Tzachamishim Mishtari. Which is the Gematria 852. Vim Shoad V'Nishantem Hay Meskayim Bem Kiyavit Tzavegun. Therefore was the Tzedakah. So we have two pshatim of what the Tzedakah was. Everybody have a wonderful day.